What's going on, guys? I'm one of the owners at Hostile Supplements, and we put a lot of pride in everything we do. This is one of my babies. It's called Bloodshot. It is a pump pre-workout formula with a 32-gram serving that is made to give you massive pumps in the gym. Today, we have a new flavor release. It's sour peach, and I swear we nailed it. It's one of my favorite flavors that we make. And because we have a new flavor release, I'm going to do a free shipping promo for the U.S. domestic orders only of $99 and above. Use code SHIPFREE at hostile.com and get your new sour peach bloodshot. Make sure you get massive pumps in the gym, guys. SHIPFREE at hostile.com. Thanks.
Yes.
When did you get that? I don't have that one yet.
When was it? Tuesday? Last week? Tuesday? Tuesday or Wednesday? I think it's around that time, midweek, before we actually head off.
How come the athletes have the clothing before I have the clothing? It's fucking
because I think I got the one you're wearing as well. I got that one as well, so I got both of them. So it was okay. I was like, I know exactly what I'm wearing to Rome then.
How are you doing, Samson? What's going on, man?
Oh man, I'm doing good, man. What a crazy year.
Been a crazy year for you.
Crazy year, honestly. And you know, worked so hard for everything and everything else now. You know, it's coming together and you're kind of feeling it. And all the struggle and all the hard work you put in through the year and grinding and saying, come on, man, surely it has to pay off at this point.
I gotta say, man, so We're gonna go way back. I wanna go way back to the beginning, but I have to say it's gotta feel good that I think you beat Nathan in one of the scorecards in prejudging, I think, at the Arnold UK. I think he beat him prejudging.
And then
a lot of people had you, including myself, had you beating Rolly at the Yamamoto show.
Yeah.
So it's gotta feel good to be coming into your own, into that level of competition.
That level of competition, you know. So, I mean, people, you know, some people look at it and go, oh, they might say negative out of it, but I think I'm a positive of it because less than a year ago, I wouldn't have a help in hell standing next to these guys.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
And then now taking a year and then standing next toe-to-toe with them and being able to not just hold your own, but to stand and actually dominate, actually win against them. It's like, whoa, okay, this can actually be possible, you know.
Yeah,
and it really feels good. It really does feel good, and you feel like, okay, that hard work really is paying off or something, you know. So
it has to switch on a new level of motivation to stand with someone like Nathan, who's won 9 pro shows.
Yeah,
and even, you know, whether you beat him at prejudging or not beat him at prejudging, just that people have you guys compared side by side so much.
And this is it. You know, it's like. Because I'm standing next to a really top Olympian.
Yeah.
And after show, we're battling out show after show.
Yeah.
And we're standing and going, like, every time we walk out, because of our last name, we're always walking out next to each other.
Yeah, so that's right.
We walk out on stage, it's always like, okay, here we go. The comparison has already begun. So we don't even get the chance to wait to the call out. We're already doing it right at the beginning of it. So you're standing at every single show, we're looking at it and going, okay, here we go again.
Yeah.
And you're battling out like that. And experience I'm getting from that, honestly, people don't tend to misunderstand that, because Nathan on stage, he's hard. He doesn't let nothing slide, man. So you have to be able to keep up and answer that. And most of the other guys, you know, they, no offense to them, but they're not as aggressive as he is.
Yeah,
they're not as hard as he is. So to be able to go toe to toe with someone like that over and over and over and over again, it gives you so much experience and so much knowledge in it. And I'm saying to myself, like, look, if you take him out of the equation, take him out of them shows, what do you get?
You know, so
I'm taking that on board, and I'm thinking, okay, every show we do, right, keep finding a way to get past him. Just find a way to get past him. But learn as you go, you know, just learn as you go. And I'm hungry and I really want to get past him. And I think the next show, I'm like, yeah, okay, we'll go again, but I will find a way.
I mean, getting past Nathan is a big thing, because Nathan is being, you know, a lot of people look at Nathan like a top 5 Olympian, top 3. Some people even have top 3 Olympian. Some people have him. Some people say Nathan could win the Olympia in 2 years. So, or a year from now. I mean, so for you, like, that's a huge thing for you, especially when last year, I mean, I think at the British last year, you were out of the top 5.
sixth or seventh, the British last year. You know, so it's such a big leap forward that you gotta, you know, you gotta just say, look, I'm happy with this. You know, I'm really happy with the progress we've made. And it gives you so much motivation, because I'm thinking, okay, if we can make that progress in a year, we're starting to figure out how my body works. We're starting to figure out how to get me in condition. We're finally figure out how to put size on me. And it feels like we're only just scratching the surface of it. What would another year bring? You know, what would another year of actually grinding like that, what would it bring? Mm. So the excitement part, when you look at it in the future, you really seem to want to smile and go, okay, so that's what I get for working that hard. Okay, now I'm really going to grind my head grind for
that's
it.
Right, that's right. That's right.
You know?
So I have a question. I have a question for you as kind of like, as the owner of Hostile, and having you and Nathan both on the team, I feel very honored that you guys are just crushing every show you guys enter. But I have a question. Are you guys, because I know you guys have done photo shoots together and stuff, but like when you're on stage, are you guys like, we're teammates that are battling? Or are you like, fuck you, I want first? And is it rough?
Come on, man. Do you know what you see on stage? The roughness you see on stage, that's what we're like. Don't even get away from that. We're competitive. You know, I know those guys love this old commodity. We're buddy. We're bumping heads. We're going at it. And don't get me wrong, it's never enough because people tend to mistake competitiveness with hate. It's nothing like that. It's competitive. We're both competitive guys and we're both vying for a title. So if we were both huggy, dubby, and everything else, then we wouldn't be pushing each other as hard as we are.
So is it fair to say that you guys both respect each other, but you guys both want to win?
Oh, 100%. And this is what I like. I have complete respect for Nathan completely because he makes me push just that bit harder. Because we did the first Arnold and I saw how close I came. And I was like, okay. So we won the PJ, we got close. Okay. Then we said finals, I started sweating. I'm going, damn, this dude doesn't sweat. What the hell does he do? Okay, guess what? We're going to have to find a way to get to Italy and make sure we don't sweat on stage. So the whole 2 weeks, we're working, we're trying to drive the conditioning down even more, try to work the process, so we do that. So we came in Italy, and it was like, okay, now what? And you're going up against him again. You're thinking, okay, he's more aggressive. Okay, you got to make sure you get up close to him. Don't let him push out. So you're learning all these things, and it's because he brings out that competition in you, and it helps make you guys get better. And I noticed Nathan got tighter as well in Italy. His waist got tighter. We noticed that too. So I'm like, So I know you're definitely checking that.
Nathan did look better. His conditioning was better in Italy. I think Italy might be the best Nathan I've ever seen.
So
he does know you're coming. He's trying to make sure.
He plays out like he doesn't care. He doesn't. Oh, come on, man. We'll come back. I'm standing next to you every single show, so we know that it's tight. We know it's tight. So that's what I say. There's that respect in it. We're battling it out as real as you can get, but there is that respect in it.
Yeah, no, it's funny. He likes to play nonchalant about things, but he's expressed on the podcast a couple times that he is grinding. He's given everything, and I think, you know, if I'm Nathan and I'm thinking to myself, Samson beat me at prejudging at the Arnold UK, he's stepping his game up too, because I know he's aggressive. I mean, I've stood on stage with him too, so I know. I mean, that was a very young Nathan, but I know how aggressive he is and how much he wants it. So you guys are definitely going to go head to head for a while. So you are, what show, well, before we get into what show is next, let's go all the way back. I want to take a step back for a minute. So last year after the British, me and you had a conversation. And I said to you, I said, I want to be completely open. And you said, okay, let's have a conversation. And I said, I think it would help if you got a coach. And we ended up talking and I suggested John. And you and John hit it off, and you guys went to work. Now, it wasn't very long after when John was sending me photos of you and going, Nathan or Samson is blowing up. So I know it's tough to talk about, but I just want to get into it because I think it's important.
Of course.
How was your initial interaction with John and the beginning phases of working with John, and how did that play out?
I mean, John was like, he was my first coach I've had in the offseason, and a proper coach to have say, okay, right, we want to get you from here to here. I think you can do it, you know, because coming off last year, as I said, I didn't feel great, man. I didn't feel like I progressed enough. I didn't feel like I was having a decent showing. I didn't feel like I was achieving what I can achieve with this physique. So speaking to John, and he had to look at me and he was like, you know what? Honestly, working with you, I think I can get you right battling for that top spot, you know, top five in the Olympia. I really do feel we can get there. So I'm like, okay, you know, hell, I trust you. Just tell me what I got to do. So right from the get-go, I think we started in like February or something like that.
But before you go on, 1 second, I just want to ask you something because I think it's an important note to for people listening. Why did you trust him so much? Like, what was it that made you trust him and say, okay, I'll do whatever you say? What is that that gives the athlete that confidence?
I mean, because first, you recommended him, you know, and I've obviously been with you for a while. So when you recommend and say, look, you think John would be a good fit for me, I was like, okay, cool. And I've seen things, I've watched John in the past, I've watched his training, but I've learned a lot from him, from his YouTube videos and stuff through the time. So when someone at that level that has done it with so many, has been there, seen it all, trained it or learned so much, is telling you, okay, this is my process, this is what I want you to do, this is what I want to do with you. At some point, you got to say, okay, you know what? I've tried my way. It didn't pan out. But I'll do whatever you want me to do. You know, just let me do whatever you want to do. So coming in the off season, he kind of said, okay, right, we want to bring up your back because that's the only one body part when you turn to the back, you're not as impressive as you are from the front. So we got to bring up your back because if we can do that, you're really going to be seriously dangerous. So right from the get-go, he just basically put out a plan together for me. And we just started working. Every week we're checking in. Every week we're kind of going through it. And remember, this all started in lockdown here in the UK. So gym was still a bit iffy and everything else. But we were checking in, you know, doing everything like that. And every week you give me my next plan. And things just started happening, you know, trusting his process and everything else. Body just started responding. You know, I think for the first month we got up to 300 pounds without even breaking a sweat. And we kept on pushing through and through. And if it didn't feel like getting to that weight, normally you feel like very like you're carrying a lot of weight. You feel uncomfortable. So, and we were walking over 300 pounds, and I felt like, I could go for a run
Oh,
if I
good.
wanted to. It felt really comfortable, you know. And he kind of.
Why, before you go on, why was that? Was it something, was it the foods you had you eating or the way you were training or what was it?
It was the food we had eaten because normally. You try to make up the calorie difference with like, you know, with junk and stuff like that. And you use a lot of supplements and different things to kind of make up the calorie difference. He had me, majority of my food was all clean food. We got rice, potatoes, you know, steak, fish, all those kind of things. And you were eating a lot of it, but it was all clean food. And my body could tolerate it a lot better. You know, I can digest through it a lot better and everything else. So although it was a high amount of food, I think it came up to like 7,500 calories a day. But I could literally use all of it. I was basically just processing all of it.
You know what's funny about that? I remember the first podcast we did together. You said to me, "Yeah, I can eat pizza. I can eat this. I can eat that. Doesn't matter. My stomach is always small." And your stomach is still small. But it's funny now to see that even though you could do those things, doing it with clean food like helped you so much more.
And it's crazy because you always think, okay, I can get away with that. So why not?
Why not?
But you really don't realize the difference it makes. Like even like carbing up for a show. This year was the first time where before we tried to carb up with like, you know, pizza or burger or something like that. And what we noticed is when we carb up for that, you're full the next day. But then you retain so much water from it and you go flat so quickly that as soon as you try to dry out, you just flatten off. And it's like, where did all that fullness go? It's almost like artificially filled fullness, you know, it doesn't quite work. But then this year we went up all clean and carved in with rice and stuff like that. And we stayed full for hours and we, you know, we dry up or we still retain that fullness and there's no water in the skin. Everything is dry and hard. And we were like, whoa, okay, this is like crazy because we always had this assumption that for us to get to that much calories and how much we want to put in, you have to throw in some junk in it to mix it in. But this time it was like, no, you didn't need it at all. Your body just responded quite well to it.
Yeah, I think if you're loaded properly, I think what happens is people go too flat when they're prepping. And when the muscle gets too flat, I think trying to load with clean calories doesn't work because your body's burning through it so quickly.
So quickly,
But if you don't go super, super flat when you're
You
dieting,
never lose enough. You never lose enough.
then you can like clean load and it will stick. And then I think with what you're saying with the pizza and the burgers, I feel like it's almost like a sodium load. Like it's
Yeah, it
so
really does.
the sodium from the pizza is what makes you feel full, but it's not real. Like it's not glycogen, you know what I mean?
And exactly like that. And that's what it felt like. So You know, so obviously doing that in the off season as well, that same process, you start realizing that although you're trying to eat a lot of calories, it's different between eating a lot of dairy calories to make up calorie differences and eating a lot of clean one in a high amount.
Yeah.
And so when I got up to that weight, over 300 pounds, it felt absolutely comfortable. And, you know, we went out on walks with the dog. I'm thinking, I've never been this comfortable at this weight. And sometimes I had to check the scales again going, am I really that weight? It doesn't
Wasn't there a controversy this year with the weight with you?
Okay. I'm only going to speak about this once because I said I don't want to draw no attention to it. So basically, a few of the British pros basically saw me put out my weight while away. And they said, nah, they don't believe that there's any chance I'm weighing that anywhere near that. That it was a lie. So I was kind of like, dude, come on, man. What reason would I have?
Why would you? Yeah.
It doesn't make no sense. You're going to tell sooner or later when you see me. So, you know, I kind of let it off for a while and it carried on spreading around. And so someone said to me, you know, why don't you just get on the scales and just shut them up? And I was like, yeah, go on then. So we go in the gym. My friend Warren just put the camera on. I stood on the scales and I go, well, there you go then. Does that answer the question? And we just left that door, you know? So it was, I don't know why that mattered or why they felt concerned or they felt the need to worry about what I was weighing. I just thought, you know what? Okay, boys,
it's the way bodybuilding is, man. We're all a little bit messed up in our heads sometimes. So, the off season carries on. Let me ask you, did John, was he giving you any cheat meals or was it like really strict all year or how was it?
On the weekend, we'll still have pizza. We'll still have whatever I want to eat in the weekend, one meal in the weekend. But then through the weekdays, it's all clean all through. So you didn't feel like you were missing anything.
Yeah.
You felt like you were living and you were enjoying the whole process of it. So it felt really, it just felt normal. It felt great. It felt really, I felt really comfortable. I felt really good. Even training felt great. Everything felt really good, you know? So when we kind of come down to the point where we reached the peak of the office, I think we were about 315 pounds. And we're like, okay, you know, what show did we want to do this year? Yeah. I mean, before I thought I was going to do a show before the Olympia, but we looked at the calendar and it was like, look, the closest show you could have done would be Tampa. And Tampa was, I would have had to start prepping very early from like May time. And we thought like we still had a lot of work to do in the offseason to finally get ready for that. So
yeah,
we basically sat down and go, you know what, maybe it's best to wait and do the post-Olympia shows instead, because then you have your time. You don't have to rush into it. So basically, that's what we basically did. So we planned out and obviously they announced the Arnold UK. And it was just the right time, and we go, okay, that's our show. That's what we're going to pick.
Yeah.
So we just kind of started prepping from that point on. And
can I interrupt? I want to ask you. So John's always very honest when it comes to, like, if I ever said to him, hey, where do you think I'll place, or how do you think I'll do, or do you think my physique is ready? Or he's always very, very honest. So when you started your prep, did you guys have a gauge? Did you ask him, like, how do you think I'll do? Where do you think I'll place? Like, this kind of stuff.
I mean, I didn't really ask him, but he just more or less told me. He goes that, look, the way you're looking now, I really don't see anybody you could stand next to and not give them a fight.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't see. And he was saying that to me. And, you know, you kind of think, you go, okay, but is he saying that because he's my coach and it'd be nice? Or is it genuine?
Yeah.
But then I listened to him in other podcasts speaking to other people, and he was saying the same thing about me. And I was thinking, okay, wow, he really is excited and really believe that. And it's something to hear when someone is nice to you and they say that, you're kind of like, okay, cool. You know, bodybuilders, we get compliments all the time. And we know that some people don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're up against. So you just don't think as deep as you should.
Sure.
But when he said it, and then he went over to say other people as well, I started stopping going, this guy, he truly believes in you. He really believes in what he's doing with you. This isn't just some kind of gimmick. He truly believes in it.
Yeah.
You know, and it really touched me in my heart. And I just felt like, wow, you know, this is not a joke. You really, you know, you really got something going here. Yeah. So we basically like put our head down and sat banging away at it. And he was telling me, look, truly, I think you're gonna have a hell of a year this year. You're gonna shock the world this year. You know, and you know, we just kind of worked from that point, you know, and it was amazing, honestly. I couldn't fault it, man. It was absolutely great.
I have to tell you, so John said to me, we always mess around, right? And he said to me, I finally got a guy with good genetics. And he started laughing. And I said,
like, oh, thanks.
I said, what the fuck does that mean? That's I'm gonna fucking cry. I'm gonna cry. Fucking Jesus Christ.
I know,
so we So we laughed for a minute, and he said to me, "Look," he said, you always got by because you worked hard, and that was what made you good. But Samson has got the shape and he's got all the tools. So he definitely wasn't just blowing smoke up your ass. Let's just say that he was being honest. So fast. So before we both break down and start crying, fast forward. So you guys start prepping together and it's your first contest diet with John. How was the prep going? Like when you got your prep diet, when you got your cardio, when you got your training, how did it all look to you? As compared to previous diets and previous preps?
I mean, he was relaxed. Like compared to what we would do, like if we started prepping, we'd be like, okay, right, all the like pasta or potatoes, all that gone immediately. Yeah. All that gone. Well, he was making little changes. I mean, we started prepping like 16 weeks out and he was making little tiny changes, just tiny changes to the food that like for 16 all the way to 14 weeks, I didn't feel like I was prepping at all. I was like, man, I guess I'm prepping. Yeah. But then what we noticed was I was just getting leaner without even batting an eye. Like I'm seeing, hold on. My quads are getting separated. What back is getting separated. And we were just, you can see it happening. And you're thinking, it didn't feel like you were working hard to get that result, but they were just happening.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, okay, this is some kind of voodoo. What's going on here? You know, it's like, it's just happening. People are clicking, you know? And by the time we got to 10 weeks out, I'm looking at myself, I'm thinking, holy shit. And at 10 weeks out, I was looking sharper than I've ever done in any point. And I looked sharper in 10 weeks out than I did in 6 weeks out the year before.
Yeah.
And I was 300 pounds. And I'm looking, I'm going, this is insane.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be freaking interesting. You know, I'm thinking, and John is, he's smiling, he's excited as well. And he's like, this is going to be something special. And we smile about it. We go, okay, all right, this is great. You know, and the way the prep was going, it was just clicking. It really was just, it felt like, you know, when you feel like you're starting a perfect prep.
Yeah.
And everything is just going right.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, man, if it stays like this, even though you have to suffer at the end.
Yeah.
But if it stays like this and I get to about 8 weeks, 6 weeks out, man, this has been the best prep ever.
It's like one of those preps where everything's so perfect. You're like, something's got to go wrong somewhere, but you're not like,
And sadly, this is exactly how you felt. And you kind of like, you crossing your fingers going, man, we this is something, if this keeps up, this is going to be something special. And then obviously, I remember checking in with him when we were 8 weeks out.
Yeah.
And it was a Friday, I think. And a Friday or Saturday, I think one of them days. And he obviously gave me the plan for the 8 weeks. And he was telling me, man, you know what? I think we really got something special going on here. You know, keep working. We're really going to shock a lot of people, you know. They can't wait to see you on stage, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Sunday, and then, you know, the Sunday, we just had a normal day, a rest day, everything we have. And I remember Sunday night, I got a text message, someone saying to me, oh, man, my condolences.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell you mean? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, so I just heard the news. I don't know. So I'm there switching on TV thinking, what, is there something going on in the world I don't know about?
Yeah.
Okay, nothing. And then I opened Instagram and the first post I saw, and I remember literally dropping my phone and just be like, no, it is impossible. It's not possible. Yeah. It's bullshit. No, it's not. It can't be. It can't be. I was just literally talking to him. It cannot be, you know. And you at this point, you're literally having a panic attack. And,
yeah.
So like I was literally just like about to lose it. You felt like really just someone just took your heart out, you know, and it really, really does. It felt horrible, you know, and you're like, no, it can't be true. And you're trying to find out what happened. And you finally get the confirmation and you just break.
Yeah.
You just break. There's no boy, you just break. And you know, reality hits you, and
I know it's tough to talk about. I know it's still pretty fresh and everybody's kind of dealing with it in their own way, but so without just dwelling on that point, what How does that work for you after now? So you're 8 weeks out.
Yeah.
This horrible tragedy happens. And then you're like, am I going to stop my prep? Am I going to keep going by myself? Like, what thoughts are going through your mind in the week after?
I think the week after, first thing, it was like 2 or 3 days later, I was like, you know what? That's it, man. I'm done. I ain't going on. There ain't no show. This is me, man. That's it. I'm happening here. You know, I can't, because, you know, you put so much emphasis on someone believing in you. You drew strength from them.
Yeah.
So when that's taken away, you're like, man, nah, you know, things were just too perfect for me to even try to think about, you know, saying, no, I need another coach, or I want to do this, or I want to have. And, you know, I really wanted to shut it down at that point. And so I got a lot of messages, a lot of people talking to me, and they saying, you know what, you know, you and John was working on something special this year. Yeah. You know, he really wanted you to bring some, he was really excited about you getting on stage this year and showing the world what you've been working on, you know, just for his memory, make sure you finish it.
Yeah.
Just finish it. You know, you want to finish it. The last thing you want to do right now is not carry on. So I was
true.
Calm down and say, okay, I know for what I can't at this point. I know I just can't do it on my own. I just can't, you know. So we kind of like, I remember a few times, you know, John obviously he speaks with Milos and everything else about it. And I remember a few times he kind of said, okay, you know what? If we're gonna work with somebody, I gotta work with somebody that I know has some relevant, you know, connection to it and something like that. So I basically reached out to Milos and I said, look. Don't know if you know me, I'm one of John's clients, you know, and unfortunate news just happened and we're halfway into prep, we're 8 weeks out for the Arnold. Is it possible if I can get your help? And right on top of that, Milos jumped on board. He was like, you know what, for John, anything, let's go. So right from that, literally that moment, he basically said, send me your plan, send me what you're looking like.
So basically you got comfort in knowing that John and Milos were friends, because they were friends. Yeah, so your comfort was that they're friends and it's kind of an extension of John, and it made you feel good that way.
Yeah. And that was basically it, because for me, I just felt like I couldn't not trust anybody else, but I just did not feel comfortable with anybody else. I couldn't feel comfortable with anybody else.
Can I tell you, it's really strange. Just a side note. So when Luke passed, almost 2 years ago now, or it's been more than 2 years. I don't even know, my mind's not working. But when Luke passed, I stopped doing the podcast that we were doing together. And for some reason, it only felt right to do it again with Ben, because Ben was friends with him. And then with James, because they were friends, right? Yeah. So that's, it kind of gave me comfort knowing. So I understand the thought process.
That was exactly that. It was exactly that thought process, exactly that feeling, you know, that just kind of drew me and saying, look, if he doesn't help, I'm not going with anybody. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yeah.
So, you know, he jumped on board and right away he's saying, look, let's do this. We can do this together. Let's do this with John, you know, let's make it happen. So he looked at my diet, looked at where we are, and right on there, got right on it, carried on where John left off, and we just started working together.
Yeah.
And everything it just literally felt like everything just carried on. It didn't feel like, okay, throw all that away, let's start again or change everything. It literally just felt like the train just carried on moving.
Yeah.
So things just started happening immediately. So, you know.
Sorry. So he didn't change a lot of what John was doing. He tried to just kind of keep you moving.
Yep. So he kept the same food ideas, kept the same supplements, kept everything exactly the same.
Yeah,
and he just started implementing and playing off that and just playing off changes off that.
Okay.
And I was like, whoa, okay. You know when you're feeling like this is surreal, this is
didn't
fit better at this point, someone else wouldn't fit better. So we go all the way to 6 weeks out, and and that's where Milos was kind of like, okay, you know what, fun time's over. Okay, time for us to really drop the gauntlet. Let's stop playing around, let's get serious, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I thought we were serious, though. We'll be getting things going. and mind you, at 6 weeks out. Put it about 6 weeks out, I was looking at it and I was thinking, I probably got 2 weeks left and I'll be in shape.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, come on, man, look at this. Come on. You know, I'm feeling good. I'm like, yeah, we're on it. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, okay, let's stop playing around. Come on now. That's cute. Let's go.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. And he goes, okay, first and foremost, I need you to trust me. No matter what I do, you will not lose muscle. And I was like, okay,
No, that's not a good sign. Because the sentence
that was a conversation where he's like, trust me, you will not lose no muscle. Listen, no matter what I do.
The sentence after that one is always gonna be fucking horrible.
Good. So he's saying, like, look, I've competed with guys with your shape before. I've competed with guys with your aesthetic before. I've seen them up close. I've done it all. So I know where the strength comes from. Your strength lies in your shape, your symmetry, your balance, your roundness. So trust me, you will not lose muscle. I'll get you. We need to get you as inside out, as peeled as possible.
True.
So I'm like, okay, let's go. So basically, we went on from like having like, you know, breakfast. I think it was the time was like 5 eggs, whites, 2 yolks, and 80 grams of oats to like scrap all that. 3 eggs and nothing more. You know, like completely take that out, take the carbs out of this one, take the carbs out of that one, drop this, drop that. I mean, it was the point where I was looking at my portions and I'm thinking, man, I could literally eat this whole meal 1 forkful.
I remember 1 forkful. I remember you posted a story, I think, and I saw it and I texted you and I was like, what the fuck are you eating? It was like literally looked like you said, like a forkful. It was like 2 bites.
Oh man, it was painful.
Did he bump your cardio high too?
Increased the cardio to like an hour every single day after I've taken the dog for a walk and I come up to an hour. And at this point, you're waking up tired already. And then you do a cardio and you feel like, I'm just tired and shaking. And then you look at your meal thinking, this is the saving grace of the day. At least I get to put food in. And you bring the plate, lands on your table. And you're so close to losing your temper and throwing that thing out the window.
Yeah.
Because you just want to literally be that guy going, what the hell is this? You know, and you're looking at it going, this isn't real. This is like a form of torture. This is... Let's get more food in this. What is this?
Yeah.
You know, you eat your eggs and you kind of look under the plate. Where's the rest of it?
That was really
that bad. And, you know, and honestly, if I was working full time, I wouldn't have been able to go to work. I would have been like, nah, I didn't want to. Because you finish breakfast and your body's still in shock.
Yeah.
Of how tired you are, and you're so sleepy and so tired and so depleted. And he's like, wow, okay, this is what it's like to truly diet.
Yeah.
And it really felt like that, you know. So we kind of do that each week. He cuts it even more each week. Just when you're thinking you're getting used to, okay, this portion, I think I can savor it. If I eat very slowly, I think I can make it feel like it's a lot.
Eat it with a small spoon.
You know, put it on a smaller plate, eat it with a small spoon. It feels like it's a lot, okay.
Yeah.
Every time you feel like you're finding a, you're getting to a point where you think, okay, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
He cuts it more.
Yeah.
And then we have like this midweek, because what he does, he has like this midweek high carb days.
Yeah.
Where it's like he'll deplete me for like 3 days and then high carbs for 1 day and then deplete for 3 days. And it's like just carb cycling it. And it's just insane how well it works.
Yeah.
So I remember one of the high carb days, we're in the gym and we're training shoulders. And I'm exhausted as always. The high carb, they weren't really high carbs. It was just a little bit more rice. I think it was like half a cup of rice more than what you usually have.
high carbs. So,
yeah, high carbs. So, you know, and we kind of trained shoulders. And my missus looking at me going, you have no idea what you're looking like right now. And she took the phone, said, let me record this. And she's recording and there's like just veins and everything popping up everywhere. And I'm looking at her and going, oh, okay. This is interesting.
Yeah.
Now we pull it in and we kind of get into 4 weeks out, and I'm thinking, wow, at the 4 weeks I was more in shape than I was the last year. I was more, you know. But he's still saying, I want more. I want to see more. I want to see them fibers twitch. I want to see more. I want to see more.
Yeah.
What the hell is that gonna come? What else is left to come off? Well, you know, you're like, okay, you know, he's working anyway, and we're not losing size for it. We're still looking round and full and big. And I'm thinking, man, and it got to the point where even with the low cup, I wasn't flattening off.
Normally
you could always tell when I get flat, you know, my chest comes down, so my arms come down, so my shoulders come down. So these are always the tells for me, you know. If you can always, like, we don't see my body all the time. We always know the areas that kind of like, okay, you're flattening off now, we can tell. But this time we could tell. And I'm thinking, this is weird. This is like definitely different because I've never had that before, you know.
But maybe it's all the work you did in the off season too that built that extra muscle.
Yep, and this is it. So for the first time, that, you know, like bodybuilders, we have a complex, and I'm telling you straight up, I got big big weight complex. I've always had it, like from a kid. So we were 4 weeks out, and I had a little tantrum about it.
Because why?
Because basically what happened was, coming off the offseason, you try not to put a number in your head where you're going to be on stage at. You try. But in the back of your mind somewhere, you think, I think I'm roughly about, you know, this or that. So in the back of my mind, I thought I was going to be about, you know, 285. Okay.
No way.
Hear me out. Hear me out.
You should have called me. I would have told you.
Hear me out. You were guessing, you know, you were like, okay, you know, maybe roughly about that. You know, you're thinking about that. You obviously have a number in your head. And you don't want to be fixed on it, but you in the back of you're hoping. Okay.
Yeah.
So 4 weeks out, I'm dropping past 285. Like just going out.
Yeah.
You know, we lose like 2 kilos a week, like 54 pounds a week. And I'm like, we got 4 weeks left of this. I mean, ain't gonna be nothing on me left. So I'm having a proper tantrum at home. I'm thinking, this is bull, this is crap. And the thing is, when you're in that state of mind, people don't understand. You don't think logically.
No.
The look in the mirror doesn't hit you back and say, because I know I look good in the mirror. I know I still look bad. I don't look anything smaller. But in your head, you've just seen the numbers.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, okay, I've shrunk. I've lost all my money. Oh, my, this is bull. This is crap. No. So I'm losing my shit.
How much weight? How much were you weighing at that time?
I think I was two. I was about 283 or something like that.
Just, that's not that bad.
It wasn't even that bad.
That's a lot of weight for 4 weeks out.
It was a lot of weight, and you know, but in your mind, he was just silly. I don't know. He's just bodybuilding thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I remember, like, we had an argument about it. She was like, "You always get to this point, and we can't talk to you when you get to this point.
Yeah.
You're just so caught up in it." And I've said it in the past, it's a bodybuilding complex. It's always there. Subconsciously is there. So I remember we were driving to the gym after that evening, and I wasn't in a good mood. And I sort of stopped and I thought about it going, actually, every single year I do that mistake. We get to a point where we're making great progress, and you self-consciously sabotage yourself because you have a number in your mind that you're trying to not get to or get past or whatever. And then you stop working or you stop draining down as hard.
Yeah.
So I spoke to my missus. I was like, you know what? I hear you. Honestly, this year I'm not going to be, I need to listen. I need to stop. I need to listen. So I said to her, look, I'm sorry. I hear you. Okay.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do. I want you to take the scales at home, take the battery out and throw it away. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what I weigh. I don't want to see it. I don't care. The only time I want to know my weight is literally after the shows are done.
Yeah.
Okay. But I said, just to make sure, I want to check my weight right before we go for our first show.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it. I just want to stand on scale, close my eyes. You take a picture of it. Don't tell me. And then tell me after the show is all done. And then we can use that to gauge for next year. But other than that, I don't want to know.
What was your weight at the show? 260.
So, I was 280.
No, you weren't.
I was 280 pounds.
Where the fuck is it 280?
127 kilos.
Okay, I believe you because I know you're not a liar and I know you're a good person, but that's nobody's going to believe 280.
Nobody would believe that. But, dude, I still got a picture of it.
Because to me, you look 55, 60, right? Like, how tall are you? How tall are you?
I'm 6 foot.
You're 6 foot. Maybe that's okay. That's
fine. Remember, I'm tall.
You're taller,
Yeah, so basically, what happened was that was basically the idea. So literally, as soon as we did that, mindset, everything changed. Now it's like all guns blazing, all out. You know, I don't care. Cut my food, cut anything, do whatever.
Yeah.
Cardio as much as you want. I don't care. I can look in the mirror. I can see I'm looking tighter. That's all that matters. So we basically just grinded through it like that. And the look was just phenomenal. You know, Milos looking at me going, man, this is, it's like, yeah.
I'm surprised the weight didn't drop further. So this happened to me. You know, what's funny about what you're talking about. People won't understand, but so when you're in that mindset, and I'm kind of talking to people listening. So when you're in that mindset, it's almost like you're convinced you're right about the weight. You've convinced yourself that 283 is a number or 285 is a number. That self, people think like, well, just keep losing weight. What are you worried about? It's like, but you've convinced yourself in your mind that that's it. So that happened to me back, I think I was like 26 or 27, and I was working with Chad Nichols at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like you. I'm like, I thought I was ready. I'm like, I'm ready. I'm like, my quads are separated. My abs are in. Like, my back is dry. Like, and I'm already like 245.
Yep.
Like, I can't be any lighter. Like, I was 235 last year. Like, I must have put on some weight.
Yeah, I must have put on some
weight. And Chad goes to me, you have another level. I go, what the fuck does that mean? He goes, you're not ready yet. I'm like, my eyes are sunken into my skull right now. Yeah. He goes, no. He goes, we got more. And we lost another like 6 pounds, I think.
Yes.
But once I was able to like let go of the weight and just, I was like, you know what? I don't care if I end up at 230. I'm just going to do what he says.
Yeah.
And once I like let go completely, I jumped to that next level and I got like inside out fucking peeled. Like, but I thought I was going to die. I'm shocked that you were at the level where you threw away the scales. I'm shocked that you were still 280 and you didn't drop even further.
I was because basically it was like before we head out went to the venue for the Arnold. Basically, it was like, okay, you know what? Let's check the scales. You know, let's set it up. Check the scales. Know what it is. I don't need to know. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
So I stood on the scales and she took a picture of it, and she was like, just for curiosity, what did you want to weigh? What were you hoping to weigh for the show? And I was like, man, honestly, you know when someone brings up that conversation, you think, man, I really don't want to talk about it right now. Yeah. Not now. Yeah. And I was like, look, I would have loved to just be 280, even anything at this point. Yeah. And she was like, and she showed me the number on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, no freaking way.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not, no way. And I was like, you know, when you look at that, I'm going, I'm framing this picture. I'm like, no way.
Yeah,
and you think to yourself, like, how crazy it is, how badly your mind sabotages you from making something that really, it's just in your mind that you don't really, like. And I was rude there, and I left from driving around. I had a smile on my face. I'm thinking, I can't believe this.
Like, it's funny. It's funny how much it matters to you, though, because nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
You could be 250 on stage if you looked the way you looked, and nobody would have gave a shit.
Nobody would care. But I think literally, I know for a fact, it's literally just I don't know. It's something bodybuilders in our head.
You've said it in your mind, and that's it.
Yeah. And that's it. You know, so you sabotage yourself and you do all these things because it's a mental thing. I don't know what it is. And it's almost like, okay, the idea of growing as a bodybuilder isn't just physical. It's your mental strength. This is it. You're overcoming your challenges and your faults. It's trying to break through your barriers.
Yes.
And for me, this year was the biggest barrier. I broke through that one. And I was like, oh my God, like, seriously, I finally overcome that. The moment I said, okay, you know what? Genuinely, I don't want to know.
Man,
I'm
so fucking happy you said that. That's like, if anybody learns anything from my podcast, it's that bodybuilding. This is what people don't get about bodybuilding. They always think it's just about putting on muscle, but real bodybuilding is self-mastery.
It really is.
And that's kind of what you're talking about, is that self-mastery of overcoming this little hurdle that, like, nobody cares about but you. In your mind, it's insurmountable.
Yep. Right? Yep. It truly, I mean, you talk about, like, obviously bettering oneself and bettering your state of mind and better yourself as a person and going through your faults. And I know for what that's literally one of my faults. The other one I think I'd come is not being too much of a ticket on prep.
That's normal, though.
You know, but it's all these little things. When you overcome a whole hurdle like that, you feel great. You feel like, oh, I actually achieved something this year. I actually did it, you know. So, you know, coming into the show, you know, Miller's kind of coaching us in and going to the peak week and stuff like that. Like, at this point, I'm like, look, I don't know. This whole peak week thing is such a – it's never straightforward. It's always up. It's always down. It's always
been a thing for you.
10% worse. It's always doozy. And I was sort of dreading coming into it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, for the first time, like, at least we've got a coaching stand. We don't have to bump heads and, you know, trying to figure out, are you flat, are you full, what you dry, you're not dry enough.
Yeah.
So I'm like, look, just leave it all with him.
Yeah.
And let's do whatever he says. And he sort of, at the beginning of the week, he talked me down. He told me through the process of what he's planning on doing. Like, look, I want you to start upping your water slowly, add a liter to it, what you normally drink each day. And then we'll start drying you out for that and everything else. And we found out, obviously, when the show was going to be on quite late. I think the show was on about, we're going to be on stage about 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Or 11, I think it was 8 p.m. in the evening. So we're like, okay, we'll play around with that. So we kind of did all the whole peak week process, stayed flat all the way towards the end of our week. And then we just slowly put in food in, just mainly rice, just more portions of rice because we've been so low for so long. And he just slowly kind of put that in going into the weekend. And when we got to the hotel, basically, we spent, basically the show was on a Saturday. We basically carved up on a Thursday. And then we had, I mean, we carved up on a Thursday. So we had all day Friday to sort of see, okay, where you were at. If you were not full enough, you could add more carbs on the Friday. If you were too full, you were just right. We just keep the meals the same, we'll bring it down based on that. So we basically kind of worked it, played it safely like that. And then I remember the night of the show, we kind of went to bed quite late, did the tan and everything else, woke up the morning of the show. And it was always that, every morning of the show is always that great reveal, right? You get out, you look in the mirror, I'm going, okay, what are we looking like? It was always that moment. So I remember waking up like, I think I woke up like 2 or 3 a.m. and I'm like, going to the bathroom, have a look, looking, going, I look no different. And this is a point where it's always dangerous. Don't do a damn thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't do nothing. Leave it exactly. Stick to the plan. No. This is the point where you panic and you're thinking, oh shit, I don't look any different. I don't look any dry. I don't look.
Yeah.
This is the point. I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to check it out. So I remember waking up and I'm thinking, oh, I'm panicked. Okay. So I'm like, okay, you know what you're supposed to do. Don't, I know what you're thinking. No, get your ass back to bed, go to sleep. Don't even, just go to sleep. So I'm like, okay. So I put my headphones on. I'm like, just think of something else. Don't think of something else. So went back to sleep, managed to woke up about 7 p.m., 7 a.m., looked at it, and it was like, what the hell just happened in the last few hours? And we were dry, we were hard, we were full. And you like, huh, okay. And we looked at it and we were like, yes, this is it. Now we just got to maintain this for the rest of the day. So we were in the hotel the whole day that Saturday. We did not leave. We literally laid in the hotel. And every 2 hours, every meal, okay, pause, have a look. Pause, have a look. It was like, you basically know you've got the look you want. Now you're trying to make sure you don't ruin it.
You and panic. You panic trying to hold it.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, why can the show be right now? I'm ready now.
See, that's why I always liked really early shows, because you wake up and you're like dry. I'm like, I want to go now, like right now.
And it was literally that. You're like, come on. So we obviously spent all day, literally, I mean, I spent all day pretty much like a racehorse, getting ready for it, just being cocooned in this nice hotel, like, don't leave, don't touch anything. No, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's perfect. And you keep looking at it every few hours, like, are we, is it changed? Is anything, is it okay? Is it okay? You're like, no, you're good, you're good. And I think through the day, we just got fuller and we got harder and we got fuller and we got harder. And, you kind of got to the evening. I think we were about to leave for venue. I got on Skype call with Milos and he looked at me and he goes, look, honestly, Sam, I couldn't do anything more to your physique right now. Yeah. It's exactly where it should be. There's nothing more you can do. You should be proud of what you bring to stage. Absolutely perfect. Keep it that way. Have fun. Whatever the result is, have fun, because you've done yourself proud. You've done John proud. That's it. So
I just want to go back before we go on to the show itself. Can I tell you how many times I've had that 2 a.m. wake up and freak out? It's the worst. You're the first person. Listen, you're the first person I've done. This is episode 130. You're the first person I've had on the podcast that has described exactly what it feels like, or what it felt like for me anyway. And I'm not sure. I'm sure other guys feel this way, but probably can't describe it or don't want to talk about it. That wake, because what happens, and this is the part you left out, and I don't know if this has happened for you, but this happened for me, is your coach will tell you, like John would say, like, take a half a diazide and go to bed and go to bed. So I would take like a quarter. Actually, the last couple shows we did, we didn't take any diuretics, but let's say a show before, we take like a quarter diazide or half a diazide. And you go to bed and you think, well, yeah, now I'm gonna piss away all the water. I'm gonna wake up dry as fuck. and then you wake up, that's what happens. You wake up at two or three in the morning.
That is so true.
And you look and you're like, why am I not dry? And then so many, how many times, Samson, I'm like, man. There was one show way before John. I think I was working with Chad or Hani, I can't remember. And I had that 2 a.m. wake up. And I think we were carb loading with granola, which is a horrible thing to carb load with. Don't ever carb load with it because it's a snack, right? So you snack on it. It's just not a good idea. So I woke up at 2 or 3 a.m. and I'm like, I feel flat. I look flat. I'm like, and I'm not dry. I grab the bag of granola right away, start eating granola. And I'm like, and what you said is so important because you wake up in this panic. And if you just send your ass back to bed, you'll probably be fine.
Yeah. And it happens so many times. People don't talk about it. They don't talk about it. They don't want to do it. It happens so many times because one, trying to sleep the night before a show is already the most stressful thing you're going to think of. Okay.
Yeah.
So you go to sleep and you wake up, always wake up when you go to the bathroom, whatever, you wake up and you always go to the mirror to look, okay, how am I looking?
But you know, the funny thing is it's the most quiet. It's the most quiet time in your entire life.
Yes.
Because your wife or girlfriend, whoever is there sleeping.
Everybody's quiet. There's nobody to call.
Your coach is asleep. Everybody's
so you know it's just you and your mind.
It's just you and this. Yeah.
So when you look in the mirror and you don't see, the thing is you probably see the best package in your life, but you don't see that. And you're thinking, I'm flat.
Yeah.
I'm not dry enough.
It's like that voice in your head is the loudest it's ever been at that time at 2 a.m.
Yep. Like, fix it. You're gonna bring. Oh my God, fix it. You're gonna ruin everything. Like, okay. What do I need to do? I gotta get fuller. Okay, no, I gotta get fuller. Okay.
Yeah,
and then you end up doing something stupid.
Yeah.
And then you wake up and go, oh crap.
Anyway, it's really interesting, man. I'm glad you said that. You know, it's funny. I've never been able to articulate that feeling. So I'm glad you said it. But so going on to the show, I wanted to touch on. So you get on stage, you feel good, everything's where it needs to be. Obviously, you had an amazing pre-judge, but I wanted to get into your posing routine. You did a beautiful tribute to John.
Yeah.
What kind of elation or satisfaction or emotional relief did you have in getting there and finally giving that tribute? Because you must have been thinking about it for the entire 8 weeks after John passed.
Put it this way. Okay. Basically, after obviously John passed and everything else, and we were kind of like, okay, we got to go into the show. And it was coming around that, I think it was about that 6 weeks point over when we started thinking about the routine for the Arnold. And we're kind of thinking, okay, what am I going to do? So from there, I was walking my dog and it was late and I was walking my dog. And I remember someone messaged me going, you know what? On the Friday before John passed, he was on his podcast and he was talking about you. And he sent me the time scale for the podcast and the link for it. Go, it was like 20 minutes in, whatever. And he was just saying, okay, you know, I got this athlete in the UK. He's prepping for the Arnold. He's 8 weeks out. You know, he's a beast. He's going to shock a lot of people. Just wait until you see him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember listening to that, and I remember just bawling my eyes out when I was listening to that, and just it was such a crushing feeling. And I'm thinking, oh my God, oh my God. So we were walking my dog at the time, and an idea just popped into my head and go, yeah, actually, I got an idea, you know? I'm thinking, okay, so I'm saying to my partner, I'm going to take John's voice from that period and mix it up with a song and then do a routine that's going to be a tribute to him to show exactly what he's done and what he meant to me and everything that he's done for me coming into the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I basically got in there, you know, try to pick my the right track to mix it with something that really will move to people to understand what that felt, something really touching over to it.
Yeah.
So I remember there was a song called Unsteady by X Ambassadors that I posed to earlier in the year, just freestyling with it and everything else. And I really loved that song and everything else. And it was something playing at the time. And I was like, okay, I'll take a version of that song that was done by one of the guys. He was Mo Jamel. He did it in the voice show. That was he used that to win the show, basically.
Okay.
And I was like, I'll take the version of that song from him and I'll take the voice from John. And I spliced it together on the computer. And as soon as it played it, I literally just started crying. Yeah. I couldn't listen to that song once without crying.
Yeah.
And it was just so, it felt so right. And I was like, okay, this is it. And I had a song and I was like, okay, I just kept it to one side. I was like, we know he's there. I don't even think about anything. So when we get closer to the show, Mrs. was like, okay, you know you got to practice the routine. You know you got to come up, you know, you can't just say, you got to put effort into it now.
Yeah.
So I kept on trying to practice with this song and practice the routine. And every single time I do it, I just start crying.
Yeah.
I just couldn't go with it. So instead, you know, I'll literally just start playing over the moves I'm going to do in my head.
Yeah.
I just come, okay, I'll hit this pose, hit that pose, hit this pose. I couldn't actually practice the routine. I remember the whole time, I only practiced that routine twice.
Yeah.
You know, literally. And every single time I just played it in my head and go, look, if there's going to be emotion, I want to pull the emotion out on that stage. I don't want to, I will literally pull the emotion out and say, I won't hold it back. I'll let the world see and just let it out and make it as powerful and as striking as you can. Let them see what it means to you. I don't care who's watching. I don't care what anybody else thinks. This is for me. I'm showing the world what John means to me. This is what we're doing this for. I don't care.
Yeah.
So put that together. And then obviously we did a pre-judging, and after the pre-judging, people were already going insane, saying, man, wow, what improvement, whatever, you know, everything was happening. So I remember backstage, we're about to start the finals, and I'm standing there, obviously getting all this feedback and all this crazy noise of everything and what we packed with Rock. And I thought about our speech. And I'm thinking, 8 weeks to the point where he said it, 8 weeks to the point where he left, he said, in 8 weeks' time, you're going to see this guy doing the Arnold Classic, Samson. He's trying to get into the Olympia. He's going to shock the world. Yeah. And right now, this very moment, that is happening.
Yeah.
And right before the routine walk on, I just remember thinking about that speech. And I was like, wow, John, you said it.
Yeah.
You said it. And it's happening right now. You said it. So when I came out for that routine, I was already in bits. I was already emotional. And I'm like, okay, let's shock the world. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I came out and I obviously performed that routine, and I just like, Lord, put it all out there. Put it all out there. Show it as it is. And you know, that's what happened, man. That's what happened on stage. You know?
Yeah, I think everybody felt it because I watched it and it was definitely emotional. My wife was crying. My wife was like, she actually saw it before me. You gotta see Samson's routine. And she was crying when she said it. So, no, it was a beautiful tribute. And I think everybody who watched it, who knew you and knew John, could feel the emotion in the routine, I think.
Yeah.
It's something, I think it's weird. Some people pose and they just pose to beats. They pose to music and they don't really feel the music.
Yeah.
And I notice when you pose, it's almost like I can see you not just moving to the music, but it's like you're feeling the music through your posing.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference between watching somebody really, really good pose and watching somebody who just knows how to pose, but isn't like, because they're not really necessarily, because it's almost like dancing where it's like you can feel the music or you're just kind of moving to the beat. They're two different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think people could see that in your routine, which was really nice. But so moving forward, you get to, you take second at the show. How do you feel taking second to Nathan? Did you feel, was it bittersweet or did it feel great?
Honestly, I'll tell you right now how I felt coming out of that stage. You know, obviously being second place, I was pissed. I'm not gonna even tell people, oh, you know, it was all right. But first, this is what happened at first, right? You know, I remember doing the final round.
Yeah.
And they called them both up and I'm thinking, okay, this is it. I know Steve Weinberger, he's going to pose us the hell out right now. Okay. So I'm like, okay, get ready for this. This is it. So we're going around. Round one, went through it. Round two, we go through it. And I think it was the end of round three.
Yeah.
I turn around to the back and I look down and I see I'm sweating.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shit, damn. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, okay, come on. Let's go. Yeah. And immediately, the thing with body being, the minute you start to sweat, people are like, oh, he's tired. He's holding water. He's fading. And I know that stigma already. So I'm thinking, oh, come on. No, now. So we went up. And I'm thinking, if we ended here, we're good. Okay? So we turn around to the front, hit the most muscular one more time. I'm like, okay. I think I have enough time to get the hell out of this stage. We can leave it here.
Yeah.
And then Steve goes, all right, guys, this is very close. One more round. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah. Man, what? So at that point, I'm like, oh,
Yeah.
So we went around this point. There's no stopping it. It was like, just, I'm like, we've just done like how many rounds, man? Come on, really? So I'm like sweating and I'm thinking,
I think what they do when it's like, when it's that close is they're like, let's see who's more prepared. And they can, they're going to pose you until somebody faints.
Someone comes faints. And this is what exactly what Steve said to me when we came up, you know. So as soon as that happened, basically, I was like, I know.
Yeah.
I know. So when the results, we came in to do the results, it was like, you know what, if it was close or anything, I know that would have kicked it over. So I'm like, you know when you're kind of kicking yourself and keep going, damn, what the hell could I have done? And you're thinking, I know there's nothing I could have done. Because if I came in too dry, I would have been flat. I wouldn't have been so round. I wouldn't have popped so much.
But I don't know if that's true. I think I think every bodybuilder has to find their perfect, right? Yeah. Like their version of perfect. And I know what you're saying. You think if you're too dry, you might've been flat, but maybe there's a scenario, like there's a question it's been bothering me. I want to ask you, and I know it's all just, you know, nobody can really know, but
yeah.
I wonder how your prep this is no knock to Milos, so no disrespect in any way, but I wonder how your prep would have gone had John finished it with you. I wonder how you would have looked. I wonder if you would have had that perfect balance of dry and full, and you know what I mean? Like, I just, do you think of that at all? Do you wonder, or you just kind of put that out of your mind?
I kind of put it on my mind because I've never really thought about it. You know, we kind of like, because you kind of start going, okay, because you always compare where you are now to your last.
Yeah.
Okay, when you did your last and how did you feel? What did you do? How full were you? How dry were you? What thing? So at this point, you're kind of just saying, look, I know for I've never looked this good.
Yeah.
This dry, this full, this hard at the same time. You know, it's always one or the other. It's always never quite clicked. So for me at that time, it was like, yeah. So when we did the pre-judging, we did the finals and everything else, I felt like, yes, this is the perfect combination. I got a pump backstage. I'm feeling great backstage. Everything is popping. Everything's happening, you know. So when it came to that point, it wasn't a case of, oh, man, wish I could have done. I looked at it and go, you know what? I'm not going to complain because I know for well that this is, for me, this is the first perfect scenario I could ask for. I couldn't have done it any better if I tried, you know. So when we came off the stage, and obviously they announced Nathan as the winner. I came off the stage and I'm disappointed and I'm like, man. And my missus, she comes up to me and she's like, you know, people talking to you, like, it's okay, you know, everything else. And when the gym owner that I've been training with, he came up to me and goes, you do realize Arnold Schwarzenegger is on the screen saying your name and talking about you right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, you sort of click out of it and think, do you realize what you just did? Like, do you actually stop for a minute? I know you're caught up in that competitive spirit and your mind is like, go, 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 faster than nothing, go, go, go. Yeah. But if you stop and take a breather and realize who you just went up against, for one, who what everybody just witnessed, you know, really think about it, you know. So at that moment, I'm kind of stopping. I'm thinking, wow, like, actually, yeah, okay, yeah, I get it, okay. And literally backstage, I started feeling better. You know what? You shouldn't be complaining. Don't complain. This is you couldn't ask for better. Could you ask for more from yourself? You've literally given everything for this. So, you know, so we came out, obviously people asking pictures and everything else. People saying, man, wow, what a routine, what everything else. And how much, you know, and the thing is, this is when you get people to come up and they say, I came with my partner, I came with my friend, I came with this person. They're not into bodybuilding. They've never watched a bodybuilding show before. This is their first pro show. And they watched your routine and it moved them so much that they were crying and they were thinking, this is what bodybuilding is really like. You truly showed and made them bodybuilding fans.
Yeah. And
you stop and you're thinking, oh, snap, I didn't see it that way. I didn't think about it that way. And, you know, and you had several people say the same thing going, this is my first ever pro show. And watching that was worth every single hassle I had to do to get here to watch that. I wouldn't miss that for the world. And, you know, then you sort of think, okay, you know what? Sometimes the bigger picture is very hard to see when you're in the frame.
Yeah.
You really need to step out of it one time and look back and go, ah, okay, I get it. I get it. You know,
It must have felt good to have that kind of effect on so many people. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's a special feeling. And I'm sure they're going to leave there thinking about you, even though maybe you got second instead of first. They're going to leave there with your posing routine on their mind. So that's good. That's got to feel good. So fast forward from there, you get to Italy. Are you, you and Milos get back to work?
Yep.
Did you know right away after the Arnold you were going to go to Italy?
Oh, I knew right away I was going to do Italy regardless of what happened to Arnold. So we already had a flight booked. So I told Milos, look, I'm doing 3 shows minimum this year. These are the 3. Regardless of what happens, 3 shows I'm doing. So we had it booked in. So when we came off the Arnold stage, I know it was like 2 a.m. at night, okay? So we came off and I'm on the phone to Milos and we're talking about it. And he's like, okay, right, you deserve a treat tonight, okay? Have a pizza and cardio in the morning. So I'm like, it's 2 a.m. Everything is closed. It's Sunday, 2 a.m. Everything's not going to happen. Everything's shut. And he's like, oh, okay. All right, have a good breakfast and then cardio in the morning.
You're like, that's not the same. I want the pizza.
So we basically went out and, you know, woke up the next morning, literally back on it, back on grind, back working. And we kind of think, okay, you know what? This was our first time of us actually peaking together. It's the first time doing a prep together. It's like, it's a situation of actually learning, because one of the reasons I even said to him that I wanted to do multiple shows with him was I wanted him to learn my body.
Yeah.
From going from one show to another show to another show. So we both learn a lot. Okay, how do you respond to this? How many shows can your body take before it starts to look tired? How many shows?
Yeah.
So learning now. So in times of day where you got to do something like the Olympia, where you got 2 shows day after day, like back pre judging a night show, it's not, oh, you've never done this before. It's
yeah.
a case of knowing that, okay, we've done your body. We know how your body responds.
Yeah.
So we basically just got to work.
So what? Did you feel tighter? Did you feel like you got tighter going into Italy?
We got so much tighter going to Italy.
Yeah.
It felt like, okay, you know what? Because for once, we're kind of getting in, and it was like the water, I don't know, maybe it's the reason we took water off or whatever, but through that week, that water didn't come back on. So yeah. We kind of just carried on from there, and it just got tighter, and all of a sudden, I started getting veins and stuff pop out of places I never had before. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Look.
Yeah.
So when we flew out to Italy, it was like, I remember being on top, obviously getting tanned up and pumped up, and we're looking at the look and we're saying, man, we were definitely tighter than we were before the Arnold. We're definitely tighter. We're definitely a lot more, the lines were a lot more deeper and a lot more pronounced in it. And we were like, man, okay, this is it. You know, this one, you actually have a really good chance of going to that show and actually be seriously competitive at this point. You know, it's definitely something serious. So we know going to that show that, okay, we're definitely coming in tighter. We just had to make sure, obviously, we stay just as full and just as round, so we don't kind of like look a bit stringy for it. But we try to make sure we keep carbs up enough and everything else. So we kind of just played off exactly the same plan we did with Arnold. We played off exactly the same way going to Italy. You know, body was already tighter because you were 2 weeks, another 2 weeks on prep, so you didn't have to do anything kooky. Just repeat the same process again, and that's what we basically just did.
So what? So I think. The general consensus from everybody I've talked to is that you definitely had second. Some people had you challenged for first, but people thought that you definitely deserved second instead of third. I wasn't there, so I can't say for sure, but judging by photos, I thought you had at least second. How did you feel after the show? Like, do you justify it in your mind and say, well, Rolly's got the name and they gave him a bump, or do you say he was bigger, or what? How do you justify it?
I mean, the thing is, obviously, we kind of like, we see each other backstage. We sort of know with the premises and guys that were going to be going up against guys that were in shape and guys that are not. And we saw what we thought we know. But you just kind of think, you know what, we go to prejudging, you know, I don't like to try and think too much into what will happen, what could be happen. I know my missus, she wanted me to skip Italy. She's like, every time we seem to always have bad luck with Italy.
Yeah.
She's like, every time we do a show in Italy, things always seem to just not go well or something like that. So she would say, oh, why don't you just skip Italy and go to the next one? I was like, come on, man, it's right there. You got to do it. When you come in, you're your best. See, you know, that's all you can hope for. You know, everything else is out of your control. Just come in your best.
Yeah.
So we kind of went in, did Italy, and we were kind of like backstage, we're pumping up and everything else. And we did the first call out, and it was me and Nathan battling in the middle, and you get moved out to the side. And at that point, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I guess, all right, let's keep going.
Yeah.
So you kind of finish a prejudge, and I'm thinking, am I battling for third, or what's going on here? So went out prejudging, and, you know, you could see everybody sort of looking at you with that same look of, it's okay, we know, it's okay, we know, it's okay. So you just kind of like, you know what, just, I'm going to miss the game. She basically came to me, and she was like, look, you know, this show is a bonus. Don't, whatever happens now, just take it for what is a bonus.
I think it's okay. You know what? It's funny. So I think sometimes in bodybuilding, it's weird when you get overlooked or when you don't get the placing you deserve. I think it almost helps you.
Yeah.
Because your fan base almost grows because people are like, hey, that's not fair. That guy deserved this. You know what I mean? So, and I think back to like, Dexter. Dexter, for many years when I started bodybuilding, all the way from like year 2000, 2003, maybe, or maybe a little bit earlier, he would always be second, third, fourth. And people are like, this guy's the most consistent guy on stage. He's coming shredded every time. He's got an awesome physique. All of a sudden, he broke through and he just started winning.
That's constantly
everything, right? So, But what I think to myself is, it's almost like a, like your wife said, it's almost like a bonus. It's okay because your fan base kind of gets stronger
for it
because they're more behind you. They're like, hey, that's our boy. Like
we saw it, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and it felt like, because I honestly, if it was a year ago, or whatever time ago, I would have felt a lot more hurt from it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, this time, I felt good. I just smiled out because it felt like I came again at my best again. It wasn't because you know when you come to the first show and you're like, wow, you nailed it, you did it. Then you go into your second show and if you don't perform better, it's almost like, oh, it was just a one-time thing.
Or yeah,
it was
just a,
so for me, it felt like, dude, we did it again.
Yeah,
it's not an accident. We're getting this.
That's, you know? Yeah, that's interesting. It's like that cliche of you versus you. You're actually living it. You're like, more focused on yourself.
So, and this is it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is, results are results. I just thought, you know what, there's two sticker more shows on the lineup. I got a lot more to focus on. We don't have time to dwell on things like, oh, what should have happened? I'm like, look, it is what it is. This is bodybuilding. I'm not the first one it's happened to.
Yeah.
And I definitely ain't going to be the last.
Yeah.
So, you know, you take it on the chin, you go, okay, cool. I mean, at the end of the day, we all watch the show and I don't need to say anything. It's not needed.
That's a great mindset, Samson. I think that's the way I tried to be, that way in my career. Whenever I got like a placing I didn't think I deserved, I just put my head down, keep on going, go to the next one. Like you said, you're not the first, you're not gonna be the last. Exactly. That's what it is. So what's next now? So Italy's gone. You said you planned on three. Is Prague next or what's next?
So the next one is Egypt.
Egypt,
which is in
ten days' time. But Egypt just popped up, didn't it? Like, wasn't it just like a last-minute show?
Yes, it popped up. And we look at it, and we're like, there's a show in Egypt. And I'm like, Africa, Egypt. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I always wanted to go to Egypt. I wanted to go see the pyramids. I'm like, freaking, hey, this is a pleasure. Mix it together. Let's go.
Yeah.
So we're like, yeah, you know what? Hell, why not? Well, let's go to Egypt and, you know, contact the promoters of the show and everything else. And they've been absolutely awesome. Yep. They've been absolutely awesome. And I think they really want to put on a show.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Hell, sign me up. Let's go. I mean,
fuck, that's great. I've always wanted to go to Egypt, man. That's an awesome trip.
Likewise. So I'm like, you know, and they put out the itinerary for what they're doing for athletes. They're picking us up from the airport, taking us to the hotel, and then they're giving us a day tour to the pyramids as well.
That's awesome. I'm like,
hey, don't say no more. I've already signed. No, it's good. I'm good. So for me, I just felt like, you know what, man, every single time we do all these shows, I remember 2018, we went from, we went to Prague for the first time, we went to Venice for the first time, and then went to Romania for the first time. And this was all shows.
Yeah.
And I remember every memory from every one of them places. And regardless of what the show result was, you remember the memory of being there.
Yeah.
And, you know, things that part of the world. And I'm thinking, like, all it is memories and just things that you're thinking, you're going places where you never would have even guessed to go any other time before. So I'm like, hey, I'm loving this memory. I'm loving the whole idea of it. So I'm like, yeah, let's go.
So when you go to these, different countries, and I'm sure people wonder all the time if we just sit in our hotel rooms. I think some guys do, but when you go to Italy, when you go to, well, Egypt, you have a day plan. But when you went to Italy, for example, do you take a day and walk around?
Literally, the plan. This is a funny thing because we argued about this a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So we landed on Friday night. We had Saturday, and the show was on Sunday. Okay.
Yeah.
So we had a whole day Saturday.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to go to Vatican City.
Yeah.
I always wanted to go. She wanted to go to Vatican City. But then you're like, well, you got to rest your legs, though.
Yeah.
You got to rest. You can't screw it up. We can't do that. you're a pro now. You're high level. You can't be. You can't. You have to focus on the show.
Yeah.
Then you're going, but it's Paul Rome though. It's like it's Paul Rome though.
Like, yeah. You want to enjoy the shit some point. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're just gonna be there, sit and stay in the hotel all day. Like, come on, it's Rome. Mm-hmm. You know. So we basically said, okay, you know what? If we're gonna do this, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna book a ticket for the Vatican Museums first thing in the morning. Head down there as early as possible, get it done before halfway through the day, and then come back and rest for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Just get one thing done only, and that way we can fly, okay, that balances out. So basically that's what we did. We basically got there, you know, had everything, all our food, everything prepared, went off, I think it was like 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning, went off there, had a look around, I think about 1 p.m. we were on our way back to the hotel. It was absolutely fun, absolutely beautiful, mind-blowing place. We both standing going, we're glad we did this, because wow.
Yeah,
like, wow, you know. So when you go to these places, I know there's always the idea, okay, you want to sit in your room and you just want to preserve, you don't want to mess things up and everything else. But can you truly say you've been, the whole idea in life, you've been in opportunity to go to these places and you're not even going to see that anything? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
How can you say, oh yeah, I've been to Rome. Oh, where did you go? A hotel in this park.
Yeah.
What did you do? I stayed in the hotel and I did a show. What is that it? That's your memory of Rome. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to, you just, I know it's like this idea of, okay, you don't want to mess up your show, but if you prepare enough, you know, you take your meals with you, you try to avoid staying on your feet for too long of a time.
Yeah.
You drink your water, you stop drinking, you do whatever you do to just stay as much on track as possible. And you can still live and still enjoy these things, not just, you know, this is it. I have nothing else.
I always thought it was a little better anyway. Like I would, whenever I went somewhere, usually whoever was coaching me was like, hey, I still want you to do like 20 minutes of cardio, like just to go walk lightly on a treadmill. So instead of doing that, I would go walk around like the city center or whatever it was for 20 minutes or half an hour. And I'd get to see some of wherever I was, because like you said, it would suck to be, especially somewhere like Italy, like to go and not see anything would be, would be a shame. So it's kind of cool. It'd be a shame,
you know? So I mean, now you're going to Cairo and you've never seen the pyramids before. You're not going to see that.
If I went to Egypt, I would lose the show. I would take last just so I could go to Egypt. I'd be like, I don't care if I show up looking fat. I'm going to the fuck. I'm like, going to the fucking pyramids.
I went to the pyramids, man. I gotta go see that. I gotta go take a picture of the pyramids, man. Shit.
Yeah,
that's something I'm gonna say forever. That pyramids. Come on. This is not even a joke.
Yeah.
So we're doing Egypt, and I know obviously I know Nathan is doing it as well. So. The battle continues.
Do you know anybody else is doing Egypt?
I don't know anybody else is doing it. And this is I'm obviously they got the Legion Cup happening this weekend. I don't know if some of the guys from that show will probably want to come into Egypt or anything as well. Yeah. Don't know what the travel is like. Don't know anything, but I know that. I mean, we, the list is going to come out soon enough to see who.
I don't suspect a lot of guys from the Legion are going to do Egypt. I mean, I know Cedric doesn't mind traveling all over the place, so I could see Cedric maybe showing up.
Yeah, like, because I know it's like 18 hours crossover. 18
yeah,
hours
like travel. I don't think it's an easy thing to just jump on a plane and then travel. Fuck, you know what I mean? So I don't know how many guys are going to end up there. It might be another European show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it might be another European show the way it looks looking. But either way, I'm trying to figure out a way to get back Nathan. Honestly, it's fun because it's you're learning a lot. You know, I don't look at it negative at all. I'm looking okay. If I can keep bringing it to him, you know, you're not talking about just anybody here. You're bringing it to the man himself. If you can do that to him, anybody else you're going up against, surely you got to be on a higher standard by that time. So I'm like, I just got to figure out a way to get past this for Olympia.
Yeah, I mean. In my mind, I think to myself, fuck, if Samson has another year of the same offseason you had this year, I'm excited to see what next year brings, man, because then...
Yep, and that's exactly what we're planning. You know, we want to get early qualification so we can then rest up, have a whole year doing the same thing of actually having progress in the end. Like when we know we're coming to Olympia State, we'll bring a whole new look at that point.
The only thing, because look, you know how I am. I'm always very honest with you, and we talk about stuff. And when I look at your physique, man, it's incredible. It's very well put together. The only thing I could see is if you did put on more size this offseason, that would be the only thing you need. Like, you're very complete. Everything, your back has come up dramatically.
Yeah.
Your conditioning now is good. So, I mean, just another year of of building muscle is going to be like, look out, fucking Samson's on the way. Just make sure you do one thing for me. Yeah. Don't ruin your lines trying to put on more size, because your lines are what make you as dangerous as you are, right?
And this is exactly one thing we've always sort of watched out for. You know, waistline always has to be in check. Lines always got to be there. You know, the minute it looks like we're sort of, you know, foregoing one for the other, it's like, okay, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drop it back down. This isn't, it's not worth it. Yeah. You know, so we always know that this is our strength. This is our strong point, you know. So for whatever, you got a lot of guys that hold a lot of muscle. We got a lot of big guys, but not everybody has the waistline and the line and the lines and stuff like that.
It's not even just the waist. It's the overall shape. You have very aesthetic for an open class bodybuilder. And there's not a lot of open class bodybuilders that look classic.
Yeah.
So if you can add more muscle and still retain that classic aesthetic, it's fuck, man, it's going to be dangerous. So, but I mean, I don't want to fast forward too far. You got a show coming up in a week and a half. I know exactly
what I mean, because it's like, especially after seeing this year and seeing what the progress we made this year and still retaining the lines and the waist and everything we did this year and the shape, it's almost feel like, okay, we finally find something. We finally found a way our body works. We find a way to manipulate it. So you're kind of excited going, okay, next offseason, you know, it's working now. Okay, let's go.
Yeah,
so
you
know the feeling of thinking, okay, you want to get the qualification early so you can have time to go back into the offseason and basically just repeat the year again and go through that. So it's exciting because it does really bring a smile on my face when I think about it and go, actually, I'm really in a happy place with how this is going. Seriously. Yeah.
So what are you sure, before we go, are you sure Egypt is it, or are you going to, like, is there something else you might jump into last minute?
Egypt, we're definitely sure, because that one's always set up. Prague, it's in as well. So Prague is the week after. So
you're doing that one too.
Yeah, it's going to be a very tight show, because I think we fly back on Egypt on like Monday or Tuesday, and then we fly off to Prague like Thursday.
Why don't you fly right from Egypt to Prague?
Because my missus still works full time. She's coming with me.
Oh, shit. That's right.
So, yeah, we got the commitments. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, we've done it before. We've done it with other shows, but it's not the first time. You just have to plan properly and, you know, execute that. So, I mean, Prague would be probably the last one, and then I could be like, okay, that's it for me for the year. I can rest up and
I might be in Prague. I'm not sure yet. They want me to come. It's just, there's so many restrictions with COVID and whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out how I can do it without getting stuck anywhere or having to quarantine or any of that other shit. If I can get there, I'm supposed to have a conversation with them today. If I can get there without any issues, then I'd love to be there, because I think Nathan's doing that too.
Yeah, he's doing that too. Yeah.
Yes, it'd be cool if we could get together for like a hostile.
That would be so cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to see what the restrictions are like anyway. But listen, more importantly, Egypt is around the corner. I can't believe you're doing four fucking shows, man. That's so crazy.
That was the four shows a year. It's always seemed to the point where we always seem to be four shows a year. And then after that, it's like, your body's falling apart now. Okay, time to call it quits. You start to look a little bit too like, okay, you're struggling.
Time to take a break.
Social is the point where you're like, okay. And, you know, you really get a lot of stage experience. You get a lot of experience in learning your body. You're trying to, you know, some guys have bodybuilding for 15 years, 20 years and stuff. We came into this late. So I'm trying to pick up that experience literally as much as I can get it as each time I compete. So it's all that. It's just building up on that experience and building up on that as much as you can. So for me, I'm like, as long as I can hold it together, I'll definitely do four shows every year easily.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it, man. I want to see you and Nathan battle again. Hopefully you guys end up 1-2. I don't care who wins. I want to see you guys crush it again, man. I hope you guys do well. Samson, it's amazing watching you. You've been on the team now for over a year. It's amazing watching you kind of achieve your dreams and kind of rise to the potential that I knew you had. So it's awesome, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you in a week and a half in Egypt, and I hope you crush it.
Thank you. And hopefully see you in Prague.
Yeah, man. Is there anybody you want to thank other than, you don't have to, I'm not saying thank Hostile. Is there anybody you want to thank? No. That's not why. It's like, is there anybody you want to thank or anything talk about before we go? Any last message you want to put
obviously, my coach Milos, obviously he's been absolutely great, man. He's really stepped up and stepped in, and he's really helped me out in so many ways and taught me so much, not just about current style of bodybuilding, but old school style and reminiscent of what they used to do back then as well. So he's been brilliant. And most importantly, my missus, because she has been through hell with me this whole
I
process.
can
And
imagine, yeah.
She, oh, man. Oh, so I was a big after this. I could just say that much. But yeah, I thank her as well. And yeah, definitely you guys. I mean, seriously, you guys definitely gave me a life that I've always dreamed of. And I am forever grateful for that, honestly.
We got your back, man. We got your back.
Thank you.
Okay, Samson, we're going to go. I'll let you get to your, I'm sure you had cardio and stuff to do, so I will let you go. Yep. But thanks for coming on, man, and we will be watching you in Egypt.
Thank you very much. See you guys soon. See you soon.
All right, brother. We'll talk soon.
I'll talk soon.
Bye-bye. Thanks for watching. Please subscribe, share with your friends, and like the video. And if you get a chance, check out the description for all the different links to all the different places you can find Hostile and myself. And lastly, check out Hostile.com for our new line of supplements and all of our apparel and gear. Thanks again for watching.